happy 40th birthday, here's your first kid. Round 2, 3 years later, it's time to leave showbiz. Gets a divorce, now he's single again. Time to start slaying with ladies, cause he's the man. Settles down a couple years later with a dope wife. Soon after.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view. I'm Bruce Allen, and while I love technology, I got booted out, whatever you want to call it, from the show the end of last segment. So my apologies to my listeners and to Cheryl and Harley LeBon. We were going at it pretty good, but it's time for some spiritual talk with Pastor Drew Sams, who's a teaching pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California, and his wife, Erica, live in Newberry Park with their 2-year-old son, Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me on again.
I'm so sorry we didn't get to talk between break, but I got booted off the internet. Don't know why. First of all, how are you and how is Judah?
I'm doing well. Let me tell you about Judah first, and then I'll tell you about me. New news to share with you, but my son's doing great. Just over 2 years old now, having tons of fun. His biggest word, I think, that he can say now is cappuccino. Can you believe that?
Whoa!
He's stringing together all those syllables. It's so much fun to watch.
Boy, is he a Southern California boy or what?
Yeah, totally. Now I just need to, as the weather warms up, can't wait to get him to the beach and get him out in the ocean, which would be wonderful.
Get him on your surfboard.
Yep, looking forward to it. Well, the news I have for you, and I don't want to take up too much time, I was going to tell you at the break, but I am in the first week of a brand new job, and I got to tell you and our listeners all at once, I was extended the offer, and I accepted the role of, ready for this, senior pastor at Bel Air Presbyterian Church over in L.A., right near the Getty Center.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm still commuting in from Newbury Park, but this is my first week here. I'm in the fourth day in the office. So a lot's happened since I last talked to you and our listeners a week ago.
Wow. God, that's a big deal. That's a serious community.
It is, yeah. So Ronald Nancy Reagan attended here years ago. Many people have heard of the name Don Mumaugh. He was a pastor here for almost 30 years, football player. Not at UCLA, but in the NFL as well. And so it's humbling. It's exciting. It's actually where my faith journey began before I was at Calvary. In college, I became a Christian at USC through the ministry here at Bel Air Presbyterian. So it's like a homecoming for me.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And you are one young man. So if you choose, you can have a very lengthy career and see the lives and developments blessings of so many families and generations.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I so value longevity. And so, you know, 9 years at Calvary, it's a long time in itself, but I thought I'd be there for decades. So now to be able to come here and to be able to, you know, faithfully lead and walk forward one day at a time, I'd be honored if I was able to put in a few decades here.
I as soon as I get back, I want you to tell me when you've got a forthcoming sermon that I can attend, because I would love to see you in your new digs.
That'd be great.
Given that you just moved to Newberry Park, are you going to consider moving further east?
That's a great question. Yeah, I imagine a lot of listeners face similar things, you know, where they've got to make big life decisions, and you know, you think about those decisions and what kind of impact will that have on my family, my kids, my friends. And so we just moved, actually, while they first started reaching out to me and having that conversation and the interviews. And so we've only been at that home for the last 4 months. But the commute, it's about half an hour, no traffic, hour with traffic. And we'd love to move closer. But, you know, emotionally, it's a lot to move again, to pack up. My wife's like, I can't even think about that right now. Are you kidding me? We're still unpacking boxes. So
what you might consider? So much of your job, okay, I don't mind, by the way, taking up our whole segment talking about this, because this is big, and we all face life changes. So your particular story, we all can relate to it. So if we stick to this for the entire segment, I have no worries whatsoever. But just for what it's worth, given modern communications and given what your job is, you could take great advantage of the time in the car to return the phone calls that are going to be piling up on your desk all day long every day.
You know, and very, very true.
Maybe it's not such a bad thing. Maybe you leave and your secretary assistant or whoever is going to help you just gives you, you know, call these three people or patches through calls to you. And maybe that becomes hugely productive time because you don't have your desk and you don't have a computer staring at you. You could probably, especially given what you do, you counsel as well as preach. So you might not have to move for a while.
Yeah, you know, that's such a great point because it's so funny. My wife this week, she says, okay, so how's it been? How's the commute gone? I said, well, you know, one positive to your point, I've said, I'm actually able to return all the phone calls. Before, I had like a 5-minute commute, and, you know, I would allow the day to kind of bleed all the way up until the moment I have to leave. And so I'm trying to rush home, get home in time to help out with Judah, our 2-year-old, and, you know, help make dinner. And I had these phone calls piling up, and I'd have to do it either later at night. I couldn't reach people. So I love the idea, though, of being intentional about it, talking to my assistant and trying to book that time. But it is interesting to think about how technology helps leverage something even as dismal as a commute to make it very productive.
Well, I would side with Erica right now and say that you probably don't need another change in the next year. Maybe you do a year, maybe after a year of it. You know, it's funny, my wife, when we got married, had a commute from Calabasas to Beverly Hills, where she worked at the time. And she did not like the commute. And eventually she quit her job at my urging. But it took a while to kind of realize the rhythm of the commute, what it did to her. And in her case, she could make calls, but it wasn't the same as what you do. So, you know, I'd give it some time. This is a big, big, big change. You just went through a huge change 2 years ago. You just went through another one in the moving of your house. These are happy changes, but they're stressors.
Oh, yeah, the huge life events. I remember reading a study a couple years ago just how much stress these big life events, you know, the birth of a child, a new job, a move, how much stress that places on us, not only emotionally but physically. And after a while, you know, if you have too much of those stressors, you just get overwhelmed and overloaded. So I think it's a lot of wisdom to try to space some of those out.
Well, and the odd thing about stress is our body doesn't really know the difference between good and bad stress. So it has the same effect. And in your case, you've had three very good stress factors. You've had the birth of your son. You've had the new job and in between the move. These are all good things, but they're still high stress factors and they do impact us.
Yeah, sure.
So I would just cruise for a while. Yeah. That's my advice.
Yeah, that's good. That's great.
So what else would you like to talk about for the few minutes we've got?
You know, I think about those changes and even as I think about your column and, you know, as we talk about, you know, the right and the left and, you know, it's interesting how some change that's so important to some isn't much of a change to others. And so, you know, you think about for some the change of an administration or the change of public policy or even the change of a job is a huge difference. So, for example, myself, you know, making this job change is my whole world's totally different. But for my son, I don't think he yet realizes the change that I've made. Even my neighbors don't really see the change that I've made. And so sometimes I think that it's important to understand the other people in our lives and how sometimes they go through change, even though if you don't notice it, just to be aware of it and to check in and see how they're doing.
It's so interesting what you said as far as Judah. You know, my own kids don't seem to pay attention to anything really going on in my life and unless it affects them. And that's just the nature of being a kid. They are self-absorbed. And there's some big things going on in my life with my wife. We're moving to Utah and we're building a house. And my boys don't really pay much attention other than, well, where are we going to be? Where are we going to go during the summers if you move? And they kind of only see it through their own, you know, narrow view. And I think that's a very, very good point. You referenced my article. I want to just bring it up a little bit, which is I went to see Peter Yarrow, Peter, Paul, and Mary a couple weeks ago. He performed in a little theater in Park City, Utah. And I went two nights in a row because I loved it so much the first night, and he was very accessible, and I got to meet him both nights and talk to him. He's about as far left as they come, and while I'm not about as far right as they come, I'm a lot further right than he is. Yet, we were able to kind of find a meeting ground that was really gratifying, even though I don't agree with a lot of his politics, and every now and then he'd say something from the stage that would just make me cringe. A global warming comment or an anti-fracking comment, like he really knows what fracking is and how dangerous or not dangerous it is. But his general view of belief in peace and wanting the best for individuals and loving children, because he brings children on stage to sing Puff the Magic Dragon, was infectious. And he and I just really liked each other. And it was a reminder that we can get along if we're on opposite sides of the aisle. I just don't see much of that going on in Washington, but I sure saw it at his show, and I saw it between him and I, and it was very gratifying.
Yeah.
Now, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think that what I think it does is that what I hear you saying is that you were able to listen, and of course, you know, here you are at a concert, you were listening to his music, listening to things that he was saying, but you were able to listen even beyond the things that push your button. You listen beyond the things that were red flags to you. You listen beyond your differences, and you listened for the things that you had in common. And I hear you saying that though you acknowledge that there are differences, because you also heard some of the things that you have common values around and things that you can share and even some warmth to him, you had a growing appreciation for him. And I think that so often our ears are tuned to just listen for the differences. And that separates us more and more. But if we could tune our ears to listen for the commonalities, I think that we're going to go so much farther, not only as a culture, but also as individuals as well.
Well, well said. Is there anything in scriptures about this, about, you know, differing point of views and how to listen to one another?
Yeah, well, so many verses, especially in Proverbs, for example. King Solomon's often talking about be quick to listen. Rather than quick to speak. And I think that in that listening, we can hear some of the commonalities. You know, there's a lot of assumptions that people bring into rooms. Even, you know, when we get together, people have this week assumptions about who I am as I come into this new role. And those that are patient enough to listen to my heart and what I have to offer, even though I'm 33,
I was going to say, there's a lot of people that are going to look at you and go, oh my gosh, is he young?
Yeah, far too young. I've already had many comments saying, okay, we'd love to have you come back, but just please buy a razor. Can you please just be straight shaven? So,
Pastor Drew, I'm so happy for you. We're out of time. Where can our listeners find you?
Well, right now on all social networks, at Surfer Drew.
You going to keep that?
I am going to keep that. I had a lot of people ask me that. I'm going to keep it.
Good. Good. You should. Okay. I'll look forward to seeing you when I get back. Congratulations on all the good news in your life. And everybody else, stay tuned for Dr. Weberman and her husband, Jason, joining us after these messages.